Well, this morning, we're going to go a couple steps further back from 121, and we're going to pick up a verse that I need a reminder of, and I guess you do as well. So if you have your Bibles, turn to Philippians 1, or if you use your phone, iPad, whatever it is, I'm going to read from verses 3 through 11, and we're going to pick out one of those reminders that's easy to forget, but well worth remembering. Philippians 1:3. I thank my God every time I remember you. In all my prayers for all of you, I always pray with joy because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now. Being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. It is right for me to feel this way about all of you, since I have you in my heart. And whether I am in chains or defending and confirming the gospel, all of you share in God's grace with me. God can testify how I long for all of you with the affection of Christ Jesus. And this is my prayer, that your love may abound more and more in knowledge and depth of insight, so that you may be able to discern what is best and may be pure and blameless for the day of Christ, filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ, to the glory and praise of God. Now, here's the reminder. Look at verse 6. Being confident of this, he who began a good work in you will carry it on to the day of completion. We can paraphrase that. He who began a good work in you will complete it. He who began this work in you is going to complete it. He's not going to leave it undone. So, you ever realize what an incredible guarantee that is? It's incredible because of how we often live and how we experience life. So I made a little list here. How about if we take a quiz? How many of you have ever started something and not finished it? Oh, every hand goes up, right? So here's my little quiz list, all right? You can raise your hand if you want. You may be embarrassed or not. How many of you ever started a book but never finished reading it? Yeah, littered all over the house, on the bookshelf, on the nightstand, in the bathroom, right? Lots of things we start. How about this one? You join a gym or you buy a piece of exercise equipment. You now hang your laundry on the exercise equipment. You pay the gym bill every month. You haven't been there for 18 months now, right? How about this one? Music lessons. How many of you took music lessons in the past? Raise your hand. Almost everybody in here, right? Our worship team needs musicians. If you would have kept at it, you could be up here and you'd be helping out. Almost everybody takes music lessons, but we don't stay with it long enough to complete it. How about this one? Household repairs and jobs. Yeah, I don't have any of those. I don't even start them. But I've heard from other people that that's a real problem. You start things and then don't finish them. I have a long list of telephone calls I have to make for things that have to get fixed. How about volunteering? How many times do you hear someone on the platform or someone at church, someone in the community say, we really need volunteers, and you step up and volunteer, and when the tough gets going, you quit? Volunteering. Or here's another one. How about a new job? You ever start a job and it was going to be a wonderful job, right? But all of a sudden, you get performance evaluations. The boss has metrics you're supposed to meet. Heck with that, you quit the job. We're really good at starting things, not so much finishing things. But this is an incredible guarantee. You know, sometimes it's even more serious than those things. You start a budget this year. We're only a few months into this year, right? Just like one quarter. You start a budget. We're going to live within our means. Well, that lasts, a month and a half, and pretty soon you're in the red again. How about a friendship? Have you ever started a friendship, but all of a sudden you get phone calls at odd times? They're asking you to do things that are infringing on your free time. You drop the friendship. How about a marriage? Parenting responsibilities? See, our problem is, and what we're used to seeing in our world, when the going gets tough, we quit. This is an incredible guarantee. Paul writes, reminding us what we need to be reminded of. The good work God started in you, He will complete it. He finishes everything He starts. That's an incredible guarantee. Now, I know sometimes it may not feel like it. Maybe you're going through some rough spots. Maybe this season in your life, you're not growing as you want. Or maybe in your small group, you're not seeing the growth in the other people that you think you should be seeing. Yeah, but God started a work, and He's going to continue the work. Being confident of this, every good work God started, He will bring it to completion. So here's what we're going to do. We're going to kind of break that down a little bit, just to help us understand a little bit of the Bible and understand what Paul's saying in Philippians. God starts stuff. You ever notice it? In fact, read the first couple chapters of the Bible. God started everything. He starts stuff. He starts everything. And so here's a simple little list. He created the universe. He started it. He created human beings. He created the church in Philippi. He started that, and we talked about that, right? And did you notice in the verses that I read, that beginning is obviously in His mind. Here's what He says, verse 3. I thank my God every time I remember you. What do you think He's thinking about when He says, I remember you? I kind of think He's thinking about some of what's in Acts 16, right? I always pray with joy because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day. Remember the first day that we looked at a few weeks ago? He shows up in Philippi. There's no synagogue. So his usual practice was go into the synagogue and, you know, kind of stand and speak when he invited him to. No synagogue. So he goes outside to a little prayer meeting. He meets Lydia, that wealthy CEO business owner. She begins to be a Christ follower. Soon after that, he meets the slave girl. She's owned by someone else, oppressed and exploited. He's thrown in jail because her owners have lost their means of income. In the jail, he meets the jailer. And so the founding members of the church, Lydia, the slave girl, the jailer and his family, don't you think as Paul's writing the letter of Philippians, when he thinks about the first day, when he thinks about the beginnings, he's thinking about at least those three? Don't you think he's thinking about that first worship service they had at Lydia's house at the end of Acts 16? And what does he say? He says what that church needs to hear. God started a good work there. He completes everything He starts. No jobs are left unfinished. No unread books. No unread household projects. God completes everything He starts. And that includes the work and the mission in Philippi. That's an incredible guarantee, right? Well, God finishes what He starts, and so let's just trace that out. A number of years ago, we came up with six acts of the story, which actually, what are the six acts? God finishes what He starts. Act one, God creates, right? We just said God starts stuff. God is rejected, but He didn't throw in the towel and quit when the going got tough. God made promises. And then God appears to bring salvation. That's Philippians chapter 2. And then God sends those first believers to go and take that message. And what's the last act? God completes. God redeems. God restores all that He started. And so the creation will be finished according to God's plan. The church in Philippi will be completed according to God's plan. But not just communities, individuals. Think of Paul's life. Remember, Paul was an opponent of the gospel, traveling around, rounding up people who were Christians, bringing them back to Jerusalem for a court case with the religious leaders because they were heretics, everybody thought. And Jesus called him on the road to Damascus, and God began the work in Paul. And Paul went through some hard times. As he's writing Philippians, he's in a prison. He's on the shelf. He's on the back burner. He's going through some hard times. And my guess is as he writes that verse, every good work God starts, he finishes. God completes it. Don't you think Paul's saying to himself, and he's completing his mission in my life too. It may not seem that I'm on a real upbeat era right now. Things are pretty hard and the pain's pretty deep. God starts stuff. He finishes everything he starts. It's a little more personal than that, isn't it? God started a community called Calvary Church, just like the Philippian church. Started in a little firehouse and with some founding members, and it grew to a community that's speaking these days about discipleship and prayer and how we can influence and build relationships, be present in the community, participate with what's going on, partner with what's happening. Oh, God started a community called Calvary Church. God's working on it. God finishes all that he starts. And God started a work in you. And maybe you're sitting here and you're still wrestling with this whole Christianity thing. And maybe you haven't crossed the line of faith yet. You're still figuring it out. But he started a work in you, otherwise you wouldn't be here. If he didn't start a work, you wouldn't be watching online. You wouldn't be sitting in Quakertown. God started something. He finishes what he starts. Now, we're going to talk about our part in that, but God's the initiator on the grand scale and on the personal scale. And the incredible guarantee is that God finishes everything he starts. That's not dependent on how tightly I hold on. That's not dependent on how committed I am. He holds on. That's where our confidence comes from. It's not how tightly I hold on. It's how tightly he holds on that makes the difference. God starts stuff. He finishes everything he starts. Well, I want to talk a little bit about some implications. God finishes what he starts. Let's talk about some implications. Some implicit implications in the text. Here's the first one. You ever notice when things are in process, they're a dangerous mess? You ever notice that? Have you ever visited a construction site? To the naive and uninitiated like me, it looks like piles of dirt, a muddy hole, most people standing around, a couple people working, the police are directing traffic, trucks are going in and out. It's chaos, it's dangerous, and it's a muddy mess. Sometimes your life looks like that, doesn't it? You're in process. Everything in process is a dangerous mess. Both of my sons-in-law are doing home projects these days. Neither of them asked me to help. Thank them and Jesus. My younger son-in-law is running electricity from his house to the large garage shed thing they have, which means he has to dig a trench, and I don't know, he told me how deep it was, like 12 inches, to put the conduit in. See, I know all that. Put the conduit in, and then you pull the cable, right? Yesterday, he was trenching. I didn't even go visit. I was afraid I was going to get pulled into that muddy mess. Kim comes back. Kim was over there helping. She comes back and says, it's a mess over there. It was raining, there's a muddy hole, the dirt he's taken out of the trench is all over the lawn, the mulch got thrown out of the flower bed, it's a muddy mess over there. Yeah, things in process are a dangerous mess, aren't they? And you and I are in process. And the truth is, we're a dangerous mess. People get too close to us, they get wounded. You get too close to people, they get hurt, because we're in process. Now, my other son-in-law, he's not trenching. They had to buy a new washer dryer because the washer went the other day, and so Kim had to do the laundry for a couple days, and so they got a new washer. They went to pick it up because it couldn't be delivered to, you know, long, how it goes. Well, anyway, he went to pick it up, and so I didn't help him either. I did show up to notice the new washer and dryer in his pickup truck. I played with the two grandsons as he and my other son-in-law unloaded the new washer and dryer, brought the old one out. And so here's what happened. They take the old washer and dryer out. They bring it outside. I'm still outside playing with the kids. Kim comes running out. It's a mess where the washer and dryer were. I have to get up there and clean up. So she's up there cleaning everything, get everything ready. It's still not completely put in. They got the dryer in. It's a small space in the laundry room, right? And whoever put it in, the dryer vent is behind where the washer goes. The washer has to go there because the drain is there. And it's a whole thing, right? They hook up the dryer. Then you got to lift the washer over the dryer to get it in place. And that's why I'm not helping. Things in process are a mess, right? And they're dangerous. You and I are in process. Now, here's what often happens with me. And I'm sure this doesn't happen to you because you're much better people than I am. Here's what it means for me to be in process. I know I'm in process because I know I'm a mess, right? But you all should be further along than you are, right? What's the problem with you guys, right? And so in my mind, here's what I want. I want justice for you. I want accountability. When you fail, you should be hammered. You make the debt, right? You need to pay for it. You make your bed, you should lie in it, right? I want accountability and justice for all of you. And I want grace for me. Because I'm in process. You see, I'm not done yet. God's still working on me. Yeah, I'm trying, right? I'm trying to, but I'm still in process. I need your grace and you need my justice. Do you ever live there? Other people should have their acts together and be further along. But you get a pass because you're still in process. So here's what it means to be in process. Being in process is not an excuse to live however you want. Being in process is not an excuse to be passive and to be disobedient. Being in process is the recognition that the Spirit's not finished with you yet. He still has a ways to go. In fact, it says there in the verse, he's moving on to, and confident of this, the good work will carry on, right? It's a future thing. It's not complete. So recognize you're in process. Add some humility to your arrogance with other people and your demand for justice in them. Cooperate with what God's doing, right? Being in process is not an excuse. Give other people some space. And the next time you're tempted to call down justice on them, why don't you pray for them? And say, Lord, help them in their process, right? Just as I need grace and the power of your Spirit to continue to process in me, they need that too. And I want to be part of your process to help them grow by speaking of them to you and encouraging you to work in them. Right, here's another implication. Notice the outcomes are good, right? God's working all these things out for the good. Now, if you're like me, you often don't know exactly what God wants you to do the next minute, right? We talk, well, Lord, I don't know your will. Would you lead? Yeah, that's true. We don't know the exact next step. We don't know what we should do exactly tomorrow. We've got some ideas. We know what we shouldn't be doing most of the time, but we're not quite sure, is it this or that? It takes wisdom to navigate between good choices. If it's a bad choice, you don't need wisdom, you need obedience. But sometimes it's difficult. Well, here's something to help you in that. The outcomes are always good. And so you may not know where to place your foot next, but you know what the destination is. You know what the values of the kingdom are. You know what the principles of the gospel are. They're the principles of grace. They're principles of love. They're principles of following Jesus, recognizing that we can't do it, but he did it for us. And now we need to come alongside other people, helping them to do it, supporting them. We know that the outcome is a good one. And so even though you may not know the next place to put your foot, you know the destination. And in knowing the ultimate destination, you know the right direction. And if you know the right direction, you're a good ways down the road of getting to the destination. So what's the point there with those two implications? Progress and cooperation. We're not talking about perfect. Perfection doesn't come until you check out. Progress happens. If you're in process, you're making progress. So maybe you need to make an honest assessment. Paul, in other letters, encourages the readers and examine yourselves. You know, don't examine other people. He doesn't give us the right. Examine yourself. Look inside. Ask yourself those gospel-oriented, evaluative questions. Are you making progress? Not perfection yet. Are you making progress? If not, maybe it's because of the second one, progress and cooperation. Are you cooperating with the work of the Spirit in your life, the work of Jesus' Spirit? Are you cooperating with that, or are you competing with that? Are you bringing other ideas? Are you bringing other values? Are you bringing other goals and priorities into that relationship? You know, sometimes we're not making the progress we should because we're not cooperating as we should. We're often the ones that bring other things. Secondary, tertiary items are brought into the primary place. That's what we talked about last week, right? To live as Christ, to live Christ. But boy, so many times we put something else on that blank line. Well, you put something else there. You're not cooperating now. You're competing. And as a little reminder, God does not bless the competition. So if you're bringing competition in, you're not setting up a pretty scenario. Progress? How you doing? Cooperation? Are you cooperating? Now, some good ways to cooperate and some good ways to make progress. Live in community, not just coming and kind of soaking in, which is a good thing, we're glad you're here, but forming relationships of conversation, dialogue, and debate. Have scriptural inputs into your life, other Christians' input into your life. Cooperate and progress. They're the two ideas by way of implication. Well, I don't want to leave it as a muddy hole and a dirty mess and a trench that messed up the yard, and a washer that's not hooked up yet. As I stand on the edge of a construction site, it's a dirty, muddy, dangerous mess. But to the architect and the general contractor, they see the final vision, right? I was sitting at home this morning. I was reminded of a quote I heard a long time ago. You probably heard it too. Walt Disney died before Walt Disney World ever opened, so he never saw it. On the day of the grand opening, some of the executives, along with his brother, they walked around that little circle, you know, where the trolley goes around, and they were walking down Main Street, and the one executive said to the other, "It's such a shame and a tragedy that Walt never saw this." And his brother said, "He did see it. That's why it's here." You and I see a muddy, dangerous mess. The architect, the general contractor, see the finished product. Let's make progress and cooperate to that destination. Everything God starts, He finishes. I want to be working toward that destination that's guaranteed to succeed. Let's pray. Father, we give you thanks for this reminder that's tucked away in a letter that was written centuries ago, and yet a reminder that we need to hear today, because we're good at starting things, we're just not good at finishing things. Lord, help us to remember that He who began a good work in you guarantees to complete it until the day of Christ Jesus. We pray in His name. Amen.